So last week we learned what it means to call upon God as our Father in heaven. And now we come to the very first petition of the Lord's Prayer. The Catechism asks, what is the first petition? Hallowed be your name. That is, grant first of all that we may rightly know you, sanctify, glorify, and praise you in all your works in which shine forth your almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. Grant us also that we may so direct our whole life, our thoughts, words, and actions, that your name is not blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we start with the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Now, as the catechism students already know, because we've been looking at the prayer and seen it a little bit broken down, is that the first petition is really the highlight, the emphasis, the main petition, and all of them are going to flow out of this one. And all of the others connect back to this petition, hallowed be your name. And for that very reason, as we start out, we can already say that it's going to be the most important, the most challenging, and even argue that it's going to be the most dangerous, but also the most comforting and most natural for believers in a redeemed sense. But when we study it, we realize this petition has incredible importance for our prayer, for our lives, and deservedly comes first. Why would we say this? Why would I even dare to say, it's a dangerous petition? What does that mean? Well, because with this petition, we already submit, surrender to God's glory as the priority of our lives. And with that, we think through this. With that, we give up already our goals, our wills, our kingdoms, as of course we'll discuss later on in the petitions. But we already give that up in the first one. It's already included here. And let me illustrate it. You're praying, and you're sick, or someone you love is sick, or you're in pain, and you want healing. So you ask for that in prayer. We do this so often as a congregation. We ask for that in prayer. And we may make our case with God. And maybe even just know, look, Lord, if you heal us, if you make us better, all the good that we could do. And say, Lord, it would be such a wonderful answer to prayer if you healed us, if you made us better, my family, the people that are praying for me, they all will get to see just the amazing answer to prayer. You will be glorified. Hallowed be your name. But when you pray that, hallowed be your name, you should also have in mind that, yes, God may be glorified exactly in that way through healing and recovery. But God will also be glorified when you struggle and just can barely carry your cross. When you struggle and your faith is just this remarkable strength in difficult circumstances that everyone's saying, look, we pray for healing for you, but you've become such an amazing example of faith in impossible circumstances. God can be praised through healing. God could receive all the glory and his name can be hallowed also through allowing us to bear our cross. When we say, hallowed be your name, we say, Lord, make your name glorious whichever way is more glorious to you. We give it all up even before we pray, not my will, but your will. That's why I said it's the most dangerous. He has prayed earnestly in full of its depth, such trust and desire for God's glory as we pray for here in hallowed be your name is going to challenge what our hearts want, what our futures plan, what our hope clings to. And then says, Lord, I put them all under. My greater concern is that you would receive the glory. That your name would be hallowed, set apart, glorified, and praised. And yet, at the same time, for us who believe in Jesus Christ and are renewed by the Spirit of God, it's also the most important and the most natural position. This is, the Catechism will again learn, this is what life is about. That we would glorify and praise God. God is glorious and holy. We prayed, our Father who is in heaven, this incredible majesty and glory to our Father that we want to see glorified in all things. Giving glory and praise to God is what we were created to do. And if you know your catechisms very well, or you've heard it many, many years, you may actually know that there's even this little echo here, or at least a link that we can make, when it says that we may rightly know you and sanctify, glorify, and praise you, and recognize that it's actually already this kind of things mentioned in Lord's Day 3. When it says that we were created in God's image, that we may rightly know God, heartily love him, and live with him in eternal blessedness to praise and glorify him. It reminds us that this first petition is also the priorities, the purpose, the goal for which God created us. That's why I say it's natural. This is what we should want and seek to. It is the request that God would help us to fulfill our deepest purpose as image bearers. That we would finally do what we were made to do. Give glory to our almighty Creator and Father. And so we have it here. Hallowed be your name. The first and most important petition. A dangerous challenge in a weighty petition. And the hope that we may finally live as we should. As we were designed to. Living all to the glory of God. I hope you start to see the struggle and the beauty. The challenge and the promise. It's always there in prayer. Pretty much whatever we pray. But it's especially there in such a rich form in the first petition. As our Lord Jesus Christ said, you, as my people, pray first of all, hallowed be your name. So first things first, hallowed be your name. Now, I've more or less already assumed or been somewhat explaining what it means to hallow God's name, but it's not very common language. But to hallow something is to treat it as holy, to set it apart. That's why I say it's to sanctify, glorify, and praise God's name in the catechism. It all has that sense of that you want God's name to be made great and glorious and to receive all the praise that he deserves. That is the very opposite, for example, of the third commandment. To misuse God's name is to do the very opposite thing, to use it, treat it as common, as unimportant, as not a priority at all, whereas this would do the opposite. We treat God's name, his reputation, all that he is, as something important, weighty, and as a goal for our lives. That all that God has done, all that he is, all together should make us more and more say, yes, we should sanctify, treat God as holy, as special, reserved, as glorified. He must be lifted up and exalted and praise him for what he has done. And the Psalms are wonderful examples of this. It's their prayer, their song, but they also just show us how this works and how these may feed into each other. Did you notice it in the first 8 verses or so of Psalm 92? It's a great example. And it's good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. It starts off very, very basic. It is good to praise the Lord. But that kind of raises the question, why is it good? Why? Why should we praise the Lord? Why is it so good to praise the Lord? And immediately there's the answer. To proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. There's something about God, a perfection, an attribute, a characteristic of him that immediately fills the heart with praise and with joy. And he focuses on two key, we say, covenantal perfections. That God is loving. That's why he binds himself to his people, saying, I will be your God and you will be my people. And that faithfulness, that's why he makes this commitment and covenant with his people. And the psalm just, well, homes in on that. Yeah, it's good to praise the Lord. Why? Well, have you seen his love? Have you meditated on his faithfulness? Don't you love it how specific it is? I mean, we all know in like everyday life, we do our job and someone says, great job. And we're like, good, great. That's obviously wonderful to hear, but it's always different when someone just says a great job versus, hey, you really put a lot of effort in. Really, you had some great remarks, or really, you went above and beyond everyone else did. They recognize something that you did so well, and they call it out. The psalm does too. It doesn't just leave it at, it's good to praise God. It says, look at his love, look at his faithfulness, look at the things that he has done. And those verses, later on, it mentions his deeds, O Lord, make me glad, and great are your works. And eventually, we didn't read this part again, but later on in 9 and 10, it'll say, you exalted my horn like that of a wild oak. Fine oils have been poured upon me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes, saying, Lord, I see this victory. I see this change in my life, and it is all your doing. This is why I praise you. I see your love in this. I see your faithfulness in it. So it's what God has done. And they bring him praise. We praise God by truly knowing him, recognizing who he is, what he has done, recognizing key perfections that we wish to praise because they mean so much to us. My question for you this afternoon is, are you able to do that? Psalm 92 presents us with two examples. Here is God's love. Here is God's faithfulness. When you meditate on that, when you proclaim them, does it give you joy? Do you glorify the Lord? The Heidelberg Catechism helps us out. It says, your almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. You could take any one of those. I say it is good to praise the Lord because he is true, because he's wise, because he's powerful, because he's merciful and gracious and more. Since Psalm 92 is a psalm for the Sabbath day, I just ask, do you ever warm your heart for worship by meditating on who the Lord is, what he has done? Maybe at home before the worship service, if you have time. Maybe before the service as you come to worship. Do you ever ponder God's love? Saying, Lord, I want to worship you, but it's maybe hard. It's maybe difficult right now. Or it's been a busy week. Or it's been a busy morning. They say, I'll meditate on your love, or I'll meditate on your faithfulness, or whatever it may have been so meaningful this past week or so meaningful that morning that you would meditate on and say, Lord, I have every reason to praise and glorify you because I have seen who you are. That's why I'm here. Your heart is warmed up already because you've meditated on God and who he is. Do you do it for us? You know, his love in the morning as you prepare for worship. Do you at times do the same in prayer? Before going to your petitions, before bringing before the Lord things that are honestly and earnestly on your heart to warm it up. Saying, Lord, reveal your glory to me. Lord, I will meditate on what you've done. I will meditate on your majesty, your power, what it means that you are a heavenly Father, your goodness, your love, your faithfulness, your truth, your wisdom, your majesty, your righteousness. To not just offer God general platitudes, but to recognize His work, to warm your hearts. Do you see it? Brothers and sisters, we have an awesome God. This list is not comprehensive. How can your prayer life, how can your worship benefit from digging into that truth? That our God is awesome. And that we can meditate on Him and who He is. When we realize this may be a struggle, or we don't do it often enough, it's just this reminder of why Jesus teaches us to pray this petition first. And it just teaches us, look, our Father knows that it's not going to come naturally to us to hallow His name. Because we struggle to know God rightly because of our sin, because of our rebellion. We live in a world that is always trying to cover up or hide or explain away and misdirecting all of God's glory to false gods, to false people, and to look at ourselves that we may sin against and not give thanks to God. Even as Psalm 19 will say, look, even the sun and all of creation declares the glory of God. Yes, it's every human being here. All of you are a reflection of God's glorious being. Still, we try to avoid the truth about God and the glory that is due to Him. That's why we need this petition. But it also means that this petition not only makes us good students of who God is, it also makes us reflect on ourselves. As I pray this, hallowed be your name, am I reflecting and am I hallowing God's name? The Catechism teaches that this petition includes the request. Grant us also that we may so direct our whole life, our thoughts, words, and actions, that your name is not blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. God created us that we would worship Him and give Him the glory. Is that clear in your life? May we so direct our whole life, our thoughts, words, and actions, that God's name is always honored and praised. And you pray this earnestly, knowing that it makes you reflect. How do I live? How do I talk? How do I worship? How do I interact with people? How do I go to work? How do I interact with my neighbors? But it makes you wonder, are the people around you able to give glory to God? Because here is one who dedicates their life, is devoted to God. Now, it's a challenging question also because, you know, the world is also in rebellion against God. They won't always like the reminder that you may present when you serve God wholeheartedly. And they may blaspheme God just because you are serving the Lord. But do you give them reason to blaspheme God because of how you behave toward them? Do you give them reason to blaspheme God because they notice a hypocrisy or an arrogance unbecoming of one who's saved by grace? See, what the Catechism is getting at is that one of the ways that we hallow God's name is to pray and to work towards others joining in believing Jesus Christ and praising our Heavenly Father. It is great that we here together are able to praise and glorify God. What else would be great? If many other peoples would come and join us to do the same. That when we pray, hallowed be your name, O Lord, we pray, Lord, bring as many people in to praise and glorify you, and let me be that instrument. It's wonderfully described in Psalms like Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. Because it gives us that insight of Israel wasn't content that they were just this people of God who was always praising and glorifying him. They say, let all the nations, let all the peoples, let them all come and praise him. And Jesus has given us the exact same mission. Do you see the priority in hallowing God's name? Now, when it is such a priority in your own life, it only makes sense that you wish it to be a priority in other people's lives. Because God is worthy. And it's their goal, their purpose, what they were created for. Or, if you struggle to see how it should be a priority in their own lives, in their lives, what maybe does it say about what you think it is or what kind of a priority it is in your own life? First things first. When we start to realize how important it is to hallow God's name, the place that it has, it means that we can't just say that's for me, myself, my own personal religion. It's for all. That you would be glad to see many more people to praise and glorify Him, Jesus Christ, and our Heavenly Father. And do you notice how we need to pray this petition? How it is so important for each of us. How it is the first petition for every Christian. Not only because we want this deep and true relation with our awesome God, but also because it's so easy for us to live a life that does not bring glory to God's name. Because we sin and we fall short of the glory of God. But this is where the beauty of the catechism comes in. I know you may not have been here the whole time we're going through the catechism, but prayer, as we have it here, is in the third section of the catechism. It is in our section on thankfulness. When it comes to God's work, we may think not only of all that God is and all of His attributes, we may know that God is also one who has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, who has cleansed us from all of our sins, who has given us that redemption and salvation in Christ alone. And we have know that the Spirit who has been given to us, and we know why we pray. Because this isn't something we can do on our own. We cannot hallow God's name on our own. We've been through the commandments. We know what is required of us each day again. That is what makes us acknowledge our sin and our weakness and how we fail, and therefore seek God's grace and Spirit all the more in prayer. But it also means that this first priority is also a petition for growth. A prayer for God to train us and to stretch us that we may grow in hallowing His name. And we all know, if you've done any training, any practices, whether sports or piano or any language, you're going to get stretched. You're going to be made uncomfortable. And as we take a step back from all that we've already said about hallowing God's name, let's think about how we pray for God to stretch us, to push us, to train us to grow as we pray this petition. I'll give you a quote from old Dutch pastor Wilhelmus de Brakel, great Dutch name. It's a bit longer, but I didn't want to cut it short because he is just giving glory to God. And I think a helpful in a way that may also make us realize how we ought to be stretched. It says, "If, however, the light of grace, unveiling the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ, irradiates the believing soul, she will truly engage herself in rendering God honor and glory. She may do so when being ashamed before His holiness, while sinking away before His majesty, revering and trembling before His grandeur, adoring His incomprehensible infinity, being filled with love due to His preciousness, or rejoicing in His goodness and so forth, all according to the manner in which the Lord reveals Himself to the soul." What first of all stands out is that Abraco has a deep sense of the experience of God's self-revelation. It says, look, when Jesus illuminates, He radiates your soul, it brights up, it's lit up, and that praying this petition is not simply, Lord, teach me a couple more things about You, but let me know You. to have the soul lit up by grace and glory in the face of our Savior Jesus Christ. If you find that lacking in your life, or you're like, I have no idea what the pastor's talking about, maybe also look at your own life. Is this maybe one of the petitions that you've been neglecting? In addition, the quote highlights the many different ways that we may give glory to God as God reveals himself to us. We may think, yeah, give glory to God. That means praising him and glorify him. It does. We think praising God or hallowing his name means that we have start with adoration in our prayers. It can. But he also says, no. Hallowing God's name will stretch our soul in just utter humility and confession, because you gain that sense of God's righteousness and his holiness, and maybe even his perfect wrath, and you don't understand how you could stand before him, how this God could irradiate the soul. But it could also be that you are overwhelmed in speechlessness because there's this deep, deep love of how dear God has become to you, how precious he is to you in your life. To a speechlessness and wonder because of God's greatness and more. To give glory to God is to not just see one aspect of him or how he ought to be praised, but how we may have to confess ourselves, humble ourselves, admit how far he goes beyond our mind and our thoughts, and rejoice in his goodness. Is that something that you would experience? When you look at yourself and spiritually, are you growing because you notice, hey, I am being stretched. I am being stretched in how I understand who God is and what he all does and the complete whole that he has in my life? Or have things, it's been normal, too normal for you, too comfortable? Have things been coasting so that either you've kind of forgotten what is my first priority as a Christian again? Or you may know it. Yes, I pray, hallowed be your name, but there's no intentionality. There's no intentionality about how may I today give glory to God? How may I do that tomorrow? Why? In what way in my station of life, my phase in life right now, would I be able to hallow God's name? In the challenges or in the opportunities? You maybe recognize you're not growing because you're not being stretched, and you're not being stretched because you're not aware of nor seeking God's glory in your life and in your soul. Are we still prioritizing our life and prayer with first things first, hallowed be your name? But I also mention this knowing that many of you are being stretched. And perhaps simply because things are difficult or challenging or really never what you wish they would be. And it's in moments like that that then your theology, who do you believe God to be, really kicks in. And they're also then challenged because you're being stretched and you are uncomfortable. And I ask, will you pray this petition? Hallowed be your name. Will you not only be asking God, Lord, give me what I need to get through this. Lord, help me to get out the other end. But will you ask, Lord, hallowed be your name. Whatever I'm struggling with right now, may it turn to your glory. Lord, whatever in whatever position you've put me right now, how may I give you the glory? How may I give honor to your name? How may I cause that also in this circumstance, your name is not blasphemed by the people around me, but rather is praised and glorified? You ask, Lord, hallowed be your name, not only by getting through this, but through learning humility, through learning wonder, through learning patience, through learning God's love, through learning of your own weakness, whatever it may be, that may be turned into praise and glory to God. Well, in that time, still consider first things first. Hallowed be your name. I started off highlighting how much is given up in the first petition. Our kingdom, our hopes, our will, all of it, our focus shifts. We pray no longer for ourselves at the center. Do you also see what is gained? No one ever gives up anything on the altar of God. Who gives anything up on the altar of God will walk away empty-handed. When we can pray, hallowed be your name, it is a way to peace, a way to purpose, to light, to glory, to joy, to that deeper knowing of God himself. It is a petition that highlights for us the struggle and the beauty of prayer, the challenge and the promise. So let us pray first things first. Hallowed be your name. Amen.